In 15 or 20 years' time, the black man will have the whip hand over the white man.
In April 1968, Enoch Powell, the Conservative MP for Wolverhampton South West, delivered these now infamous words during his notorious Rivers of Blood speech at Birmingham's Midland Hotel. Claiming that he was directly quoting one of his constituents, Powell went on to warn about the dangers of excessive Commonwealth immigration that he considered to threaten the future of Britain's national identity. He believed that large volumes of black and Asian immigrants living in segregated communities and failing to integrate into British society would lead to racial wars. This is the story of the impact of Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech and its legacy in the West Midlands. 2 weeks prior to Enoch's speech, the assassination of Martin Luther King saw racial riots spread across America. Fearing similar disruptions in Britain, Powell's speech criticised the Labour government's proposed race relations bill, which made it legal to discriminate a person from housing, employment and public services based on their race or national origin. He argued that the legislation would give privileges to Commonwealth immigrants and that white native populations would be put at a disadvantage, ultimately becoming strangers in their own country.
This is why, to enact legislation of the kind before Parliament at this moment is to risk throwing a match onto gunpowder.
It seems quite ironic then that in the early 1950s, Powell was among those politicians who recognised that in order for post-war Britain to succeed, they needed immigrants. And so thanks to the 1948 British Nationality Act, thousands of Commonwealth immigrants came over to Britain, many to work in factories in the West Midlands.
The Empire Windrush brings to Britain 500 Jamaicans.
Yet in his 1968 speech, Powell compared mass immigration to Britain like
watching a nation busily engaged in heaping up its own funeral pyre.
His words were inflammatory and divided the nation. In fact, 24 hours after the speech, Edward Heath, who was the current Conservative Party leader at the time, sacked Powell from his position as Shadow Defence Secretary, condemning his speech for encouraging racial tensions. Whether Powell was genuinely voicing the concerns of his constituents or simply exploiting racial anti-immigrant sentiment for his own political ambitions is debatable. It is clear, however, that Powell was a popular figure, especially amongst the white working class, which some historians argue contributed to the Conservative Party winning the 1970 election. In support of Powell, trade unionists went on strike around Britain, and in London, 1,000 dockers protested. Opinion polls from 1968 showed that 74% of people agreed with Powell that non-white immigration to Britain needed to be stopped, and 69% thought it was wrong of Heath to sack Powell.
There's 2,026 signatures there to say that Mr. Enoch's right. That we have the right to say who we like and who we don't like. This is not a racial problem. All we say is that we've got enough immigrants into the country and that no more should be allowed in.
Locally in Wolverhampton, where the influx of immigrants was high, support for Powell was also strong. He received thousands of letters from residents backing what he said. And whilst racial violence and colour bars against immigrants who were considered dirty and immoral already existed in Wolverhampton, many scholars are right in identifying Powell's speech as being indirectly responsible for legitimising hate attacks against West Indian and South Asian migrants. In the following 2 weeks after the speech, Times newspaper recorded multiple incidences of racially motivated attacks in the city. Wolverhampton's former mayor, Milkinder Jaspal, whose family moved from the Punjab in the 1960s, remembers the impact of Powell's speech.
Go back to my mother. I mean, you know, it did frighten the life out of her. She never changed her nationality. You know, she came with an Indian passport and she died with an Indian passport. She used to remind us, you know, don't regard this as your home. You know, you can never be safe here. You'll be thrown out one day if they turn against you.
Powell's hateful speech left immigrants scared and living in fear. But of course, not everyone supported Powell. 300 LSE students protested, and Pakistani, Caribbean and Indian migrant communities mobilised to form the Black People's Alliance group in Britain. They marched in resistance of Powell. Hello. Although Powell died in 1998 and it's been 5 decades since he made the Rivers of Blood speech, Enoch has not completely disappeared. The historical significance of his ideologies on repatriation continue to shape immigration detention and deportation policies today. What's more disturbing is that his political rhetoric still influences modern debates on race and immigration in the West.
Brexit.
Brexit.
Brexit. Brexit.
The links between anti-immigrant themes in Powell's 1968 speech and Britain's Brexit debate in 2016 are unmistakable, as campaigns to leave the EU were defined by the toxic issue of immigration. Journalist Satnam Singhera, whose parents migrated from India to Wolverhampton when he was a child, agrees that Enoch's ideas are being echoed.
Brexit is just a rerunning of everything that was happening around that speech.
Singhera puts into perspective how Powell's fear-mongering tactics are common in today's society for far-right populist politicians like UKIP's former leader Nigel Farage, whom Enoch remains an inspirational figure for. Farage has been described as a pound shot Powell for sharing and even praising Enoch's anti-immigrant views.
What he was warning about was that if you have a large influx of people into an area that change an area beyond recognition, there is tension. That basic principle is right.
In the build-up to the Brexit referendum, Farage's Leave campaign built on exploiting people's reasonable fears about housing shortages, public services and unemployment, blaming immigrants just as Powell did in 1968. Research from the British Social Attitude Survey indicates that immigration played a major role in the Brexit vote. 73% of those who voted Leave voiced concerns about EU immigrants. And so, similar to the debates triggered by Powell's speech, anti-immigrant sentiments surrounding Brexit revived the question of numbers or race once again in 2016. One white Brexiteer I spoke to, who reflects on her own experiences of Enoch's speech in 1968 as a teacher in Birmingham, acknowledges that the Brexit referendum was much more complex.
As a nation, England used to have the British Empire, so they were used to making rules, not taking rules. And I think that probably was the reason people like me voted to leave, because we wanted our own country back again from that point of view, lawmaking. But I think there were other people who could see Eastern Europeans coming in. And this is a whole new bit of racism, if we're honest. But of course, they are the same colour, so it does not seem the same issue, but it is the same issue. You had sort of Romanians, Eastern Europeans of all sorts coming in. And I think that has stirred up quite a lot of feeling, because they were charging less, weren't they, for things, and, you know, taking people's jobs. It's always the old thing, isn't it? People are taking our jobs.
Interestingly, despite the West Midlands having a high ethnic minority population, the majority of people still voted Leave. Yet after Brexit, the Home Office found that hate crime against ethnic minorities increased by 1/3 in Britain. I mean, even I can personally remember that in 2018, this idea of Punish a Muslim Day started circulating, which really highlights the growth in xenophobia and racism.
This country has had enough. That we should close the borders, completely close the borders. It's enough. We are sinking.
But the vast majority of British people want change. They want us to control not just the quantity, but also, crucially, the quality of who comes into this country.
Given then that Powell was a critic of mass immigration and the European common market, scholars have come to describe Brexit as a triumph of Powellism. Other modern affairs like the 2018 Windrush scandal and the Home Office's hostile environment policy can also be related to Powell's thinking. Which leads to the question of, was Enoch right? With the rise of terrorist attacks and identity politics in Britain, the slogan Enoch was right is a phrase that has emerged in politics used to compare British society with the predictions Powell made in his speech. English politician Bill Etheridge is a current member of the Brexit Party who was born and raised in Wolverhampton. He says,
well, that speech 50 years ago was given in terminology and words that we wouldn't use today. But if you actually disseminate what he was trying to say and you look at the effects of uncontrolled mass immigration, I think there's a point to it. And I think, in many ways, Enoch Powell was a visionary who saw many things that were going to happen, like about the EU and various other things. And I think we need to understand the speech in modern terms and realise that it's something that still has massive resonance for people now.
Going back to Satnam Singhera, he believes that not everything Powell said in the speech was wrong, and that in hindsight, he was right about numbers. Powell estimated that by the year 2000, Commonwealth immigrants and their descendants would add up to one-tenth of Britain's entire population. Though a 2001 census found that 7.9% of the British population identified as Asian, Black or Mixed, which is a little lower than what Powell predicted, by 2011, results were more spot on, as Black, Mixed and Asian people roughly made up to 10% of Britain's 63 million population. From this, it is clear that the Black man is far from having the whip hand over the white man. Moving on to the present scene in Britain, the West Midlands today is living proof that Powell's prediction of mass immigration leading to racial tensions and thus rivers of blood in British streets was wrong. Newspaper headlines illustrate how the West Midlands is now one of Britain's most diverse and multicultural counties, especially with the upcoming Commonwealth Games being held in Birmingham in 2022. Equally, Wolverhampton has come a long way and is today characterised by cohesion, tolerance and greater integration. Powell was a Conservative MP of Wolverhampton South West from between 1950 to 1970, but since then this position has been held by Sikh politician Paul Uppal, whose father was a Commonwealth immigrant who migrated from East Africa in 1961. As of 2017, the constituency has been represented by Eleanor Smith, a nurse from a working class background, a trade unionist and more importantly, an African Caribbean immigrant. She says,
I'm very proud the way that Wolverhampton has moved on, and Wolverhampton has moved on to such a point where it's now become a city of sanctuary, where people, they're welcoming asylum seekers, migrant workers and people like that. I mean, that speaks for itself, does it not?
The irony continues further as Powell's former office is now Wolverhampton's African Caribbean Heritage Centre.
Can you imagine Enoch Powell sitting there and wondering, how did we get in here? And his ghost probably sit there watching us.
The changes seen since the 1960s are something to be celebrated. However, attitudes towards immigration and Enoch's legacy remain mixed. In 2018, the Express and Star, which is Wolverhampton's local newspaper, reignited interest in Powell to mark the 50th anniversary of his infamous speech by organising a debate on the impact he had. Following this, Wolverhampton Civic and Historical Society proposed having a blue plaque to honour Powell's time as MP, which, as expected, sparked controversy and showed that Powell continued to divide public and professional opinions.
Probably not a plaque. It would be quite the wrong thing. It would be a rallying point for the English Defence League.
Things he said, I think, were quite good.
He wasn't a racist, not at all.
He put a division between ethnic minority.
I was deeply offended and I felt like an outsider.
On the one hand, academics like Shirin Hirsch say that this is not closed but living history, and so a plaque can be seen as honouring Powell's racist views. Instead, why not have a plaque celebrating how multicultural Wolverhampton has become, or one for the victimised immigrants who stood up against this prejudice? On the other hand, journalist and politician Nigel Hastelow argues that a plaque is just a cultural attraction which would signify the history of the town. Powell was housing minister and MP for 24 years, so should we ignore the rest of the other public services that Powell did and villainise him for one speech? Ultimately, Powell will always be remembered for this hateful speech and not any other contributions he made. Fortunately, a blue plaque for Powell never materialised. I was born in Birmingham, and having grown up in this multiracial city where diversity seems normal to me, it is shocking to think that it was only 52 years ago when Powell's controversial Rivers of Blood speech divided this nation on issues of race and immigration. Unlike those who grew up here during that era and faced daily abuses as a result of Powell's speech, his name meant very little to me until now. Listening back to Powell's words, there are echoes of contemporary British politics. Britain is for the most part an accepting and integrated country. Going around the West Midlands proves this, but there are areas such as Small Heath, Handsworth and Spark Brook, which is where I'm from in Birmingham, that are less integrated. Progress has been made, though not all struggles have been resolved. As I record this podcast, it was just announced on the news that a new points-based immigration system will be introduced in Britain in 2021, making it harder for unskilled migrants to enter the country. Is this a fair system, or is this a new look to racism and discrimination in politics to voice direct reference to colour and race? Thank you for listening to From Rivers of Blood to Brexit. This podcast was written, edited and hosted by Zakir Ilyas. That's me. Many thanks to Milkinder Jaspal and Barbara Dowsett for sharing their experiences.